The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. If you get a little bit in my personal life, you get into the Wayback Machine and you go back, I don't know, I'd probably say maybe 10 or 12 or 13 years, a very zealous Christian, a culture warrior, and engaged in all those arenas and politics and such. But one area where I was really hard-hearted inside the world of Christianity was when it came to like counselors. Like, you got to get a counselor, you have a therapist. Anytime I heard any of that stuff, I thought, that's just for weak people. If you need a counselor, it's because your faith is weak. You don't trust the Lord. You don't know his word, yada, yada, yada. I had really wide phylacteries and really long tassels. And I was so judgmental of people that believed in counseling and sought counseling, because I thought it was just a sign of weakness. It's like if you walk around with crutches, that's because you've had some physical problem that makes you unable to support yourself. And that's the way I looked at it. But then I started to actually have some counselors and various people and some professionals on the professional side, and then people that were professional counselors as well as biblical counselors from that perspective on the show every once in a while. And it wasn't exactly what I expected. And then full disclosure, over the course of, I'd say, the last 8 years, some of these same biblical counselors have been tremendous blessings to our family personally, to us as individuals, us as a couple. And man, it's this unbelievable resource as God gives some to be teachers and leaders, and we have different gifts. And there's wisdom in a multitude of counselors. So why would you not think that a quote unquote Christian counselor would not be a source of incredible wisdom? Of course, they are. Now, when it comes to the topic we're going to discuss today on Theology Thursday with our friends at BJU Seminary, addiction is a tough one because we live in a culture that's going to say, you know, you're born into a family where alcoholism is in the bloodstream. It's part of the DNA. And so you're just going to kind of struggle with that. You're predisposed to it. And so there's the issues of physical dependence versus addictions. Are those the same thing? Are they different? What about the Bible? Shows you, should you just read your Bible, pray every day, and the addiction will go away? That's actually the opening line from today's Seminary Viewpoint blog, which we always use, and our friends at BJU Seminary are kind enough to write this and tailor it to what we're going to talk about. And it's great to welcome back to the program Jim Berg, who's really an expert and a leader and a thought leader and a professor of biblical counseling at BJU Seminary. And we're going to work our way through this, freedom from addiction as slaves to God, kind of applying theology to a very difficult topic. But Jim, it's great to have you back. How are you?
It's great to be back, Steve. I'm doing really well. Thank you.
Was me having a bad attitude about biblical counseling and kind of going down this road as a believer, as a serious, committed believer, was my attitude abnormal, or do you think it was kind of the norm?
It probably was the norm, many years back, as you talk about it. And in evangelicalism and conservative evangelicalism, and fundamentalism, we've been really good at doctrine and reproof, but we find that we haven't been so good at using the word for correction, setting things back again, and instruction in righteousness, helping people long enough to be able to change their thinking and progressive sanctification. So we were kind of using the word of God for half of its function, according to 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. So that wasn't uncommon back in those days.
Yeah, and I could be very hard-hearted about it. I think this is, when we get into addiction, is this something, could I accurately call it like a third rail kind of subject? Because I think we've been conditioned and taught, and I will work through this, that addiction really is a metaphysical thing. It's a chemistry thing. It's a genetic thing. So this is when if we're going to talk to a Christian counselor, just throwing the Bible at addiction is, I don't know, Pollyanna-ish. It's a little, is it ignorant? Is this kind of a tough topic?
Yes, it really is. And I think it's because of that conflation of the physical component that often comes as a result of drug dependency. There is certainly a physical component, but driving it is not the drug. Many, many secular researchers and clinicians will have gone on record in their writings and in their seminars that the thing that keeps people in drugs is not the pull of the drug itself, although many, many drugs have serious pull. But the thing that keeps people in addiction is they don't have a better solution to the problems they're trying to solve with a drug by altering their moods or numbing their brains. And what I try to do in helping Christians understand this is that we have to understand that even the world is now making a very clear distinction between physical dependency and what they call true addiction. And the physical dependency would be like if grandma goes into the hospital and she has hip surgery and is on morphine drip for 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. She doesn't come out of the hospital a junkie, although she may come out foggy, but she doesn't come out looking for a hit on the street because the drug is interfering with what she wants to get back to. Now, so she gets rid of it just as soon as she can and overcomes that physical dependency. But if grandma does not have a better life to go back to,
yeah.
She's estranged from her family. Nobody wants to be around her. She's burned her relational bridges. The drug side effects mm-hmm. of the mood-altering experience and the brain-numbing experience are welcomed by grandma. And now she has two problems, physical dependency and an addiction, which just means I'm using something to solve the problems of my soul. I'm using something other than God to do that.
Yeah, which, you know, a catchphrase today, Jim, obviously is like self-medicate. So as we look at, for example, back when I was a teenager, you know, drinking a beer in 1985 was no big deal. We have a culture now in America for 16-year-olds, 17-year-olds, 20-year-olds, where it's no longer drinking a beer is no big deal. It's smoking marijuana is no big deal. And in that case, there's a lot of that self-medication. And because, like you said, you start off by it's just a way to kind of solve a problem. But there is an addictive physical aspect to marijuana. And that's on the table as well. I think as we work through this today, talking about physical dependence versus addictions, do we put the cart before the horse? Are we talking about the chicken or the egg? It's going to be interesting to work through this. We're coming up on a break, but we're going to keep talking. This is a difficult subject because we have to deal with both. There's the physical realities of it, physical dependence, and there's what leads to an addiction. What can you do in the spirit, in the mind, in the heart? Because that's just as important. And oftentimes we set one aside and ignore the other or vice versa. We're talking to Dr. Jim Berg today, biblical counseling at BJU Seminary on Theriology Thursday. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, Theology Thursday with our friends at BJU Seminary. I'm going to post this right now on Facebook Live. And so you can go to my Facebook page, just the Steve Noble Show, and take a look at this. This is something in light of what we've been through the last 2 years, okay, in America, and not just here, but around the world, because of the COVID lockdowns and everything else that's gone on there, addiction has gone through the roof. And across all different kinds of ages and all kinds of addiction, whether it's drug addiction, alcohol addiction, there's been a proliferation of issues, personal issues, mental issues, emotional issues, as a result of what we've gone through the last 2 years. And so this is out there a lot more than any of us think. There's a lot of addiction that doesn't have to be somebody's down and out and on a street corner and you see them when you hop off the highway. There's a lot of people that are addicted and they're quietly addicted. It's not so normal. They're kind of functioning and you don't know it, but there's a lot of it out there. And so the Bible has a lot to say. God cares. We should care. There's a lot there from a counseling perspective, from a theological perspective in dealing with addictions. Freedom from addiction as slaves to God, which we're going to get to today. I'm going to post that. I just posted it, the blog post for today. With Dr. Jim Berg, biblical counseling at BJU Seminary. By the way, every week we have a blog that accompanies these great conversations that we do with our friends at BJU. So you can access that all the time. Just go to seminary.bju.edu/radio. Okay, that's the main page. You're going to see every blog that we've done since we started Theology Thursday about 8 or 9 months ago. And it's just rich, a great thought leadership, great topics that are not just things to think about, but things that can actually affect how you live your life on a daily basis. So seminary.bju.edu/radio we'll land you there. But today's topic, freedom from addiction as slaves to God. And again, Jim, thanks so much for your time today.
Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. Well, I wanted to start, we alluded to this before, but you actually mentioned this in the blog post. The National Institute of Drug Abuse correctly states that physical dependence in and of itself does not constitute addiction, but often accompanies addiction. So we have this physical dependence, and then we have addiction. So help us, Jim, to understand the difference between the two.
Sure. What the world is calling sometimes a physical dependence is called physical addiction. And then what they are calling true addiction is actually what they also call psychological addiction. Well, we would look at, and when you look at the problems that people are trying to solve in what the world calls psychological addiction, they're all matters of the soul. Mm. So anger is a soul problem. And anxiety and worry are soul problems. Vengeance and hatred are soul problems. Anger and bitterness are soul problems. Loneliness, although it's not sinful, it is a problem resolved in the soul.
Sure.
Shame is a soul problem. And it can be shame because of your own sin, or it can be shame because somebody has sinned against you, but it's still resolved in the soul. And the world would call those psychological problems. We would call them spiritual problems because God is the only one with answers to any of the problems in the soul. So what the world is calling the true addiction component, the psychological yeah. component, actually lands squarely in the pages of Scripture, because the Scripture is all about those soul issues, mm-hmm. those heart issues.
Yeah.
And that's where biblical counseling is in. Is that the science may give us some things that are helpful but about understanding the pull of a drug or the side effects of the drug, but only the Bible tells us what is essential for overcoming enslaving behaviors, whether it's related to a drug or to eating or cutting or running away or gambling. All of those are ways of dealing with soul problems, and that is the domain of the Scriptures. And anybody coming inside that fence
yeah.
is hopping over God's fence. So what are his issues?
Got it. That makes perfect sense. That's a good way to understand it. Then the physical dependence just is an acknowledgement that these things, whether we're talking about cocaine or marijuana or alcohol or even pornography, these things have physical ramifications. They operate in the physical world, and they actually can create dependence that's physical in nature.
Yes, yes, and that is true. Now a drug is, you know, has its own pull in the sense that it's difficult for people to break away from it
right.
because of the tolerance issue. But other things like pornography and so forth, actually our body was made, and our brain is part of our body, is made to reinforce the choices of our hearts.
Mm.
Our body serves our heart.
Wow.
If I want to pick up this water bottle, my body serves the desires of my heart. And it does that in habituation as well. Several of the men who have been writing about this in recent years in the secular sense talk about this. This is, addiction is a developmental process. You grow into addiction. We're not talking about the chemical kind,
yeah,
but
yeah.
all the others. You grow into that. Your body reinforces your choices, helps eliminate other options in your mind, pushes you toward what is exciting emotionally, and actually rewires it. And then we think, and then the world says, well, it rewires your brain. You're trapped. All learning is rewiring of the brain. If your brain didn't rewire, it couldn't learn anything.
Right.
And that's why growing out of addiction is progressive sanctification. It is a growth process of learning to turn in another direction for the problems of life rather than turning to an experience in life. And all addictions are about experiences.
Mm.
And the Bible, this is the domain of the Bible.
Yeah.
This is where the Scriptures shine.
Yeah, and that's why, I mean, I've heard some people say, Jim, we're talking to Jim Berg from BJU Seminary in Biblical Counseling. I've heard some people say, you know, a Christian should never be addicted to anything. But a Christian's not immune to sin. A Christian's not immune to soul issues, right?
No, not at all. In fact, in Romans 6, the passage in the blog post, Paul talks about how we can become slaves of sin.
Mm-hmm.
And then upon conversion, the goal is to become slaves of righteousness. And I have had people protest and say, I don't believe you can have a Christian addict. And I say, so, you know, they're, of course, they're talking about somebody who's in drug addiction. And I say, so you mean that that woman in your church who's been a professional world-class warrior for the last 40 years is not a believer? I say, you know, what I look at is if 1 Corinthians 6, such were some of you, if somebody is in a sin and it's become his lifestyle and he's defending that, then he probably isn't a believer.
Right, right.
If he is fighting that with God's help and with the help of the church, the scriptures, then he's just like the rest of us. And what I like to take my cue from is Revelation 3:19. Jesus said, talking to that church of Laodicea, for as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. So I'm asking the men that I'm working with, I say, when you go back and do that, do you experience any conviction from
right.
God?
Right, huge question.
And do you experience any chastening from God?
Yeah,
all the time. But if somebody says, no, I never even think about it. I'm never rebuked by that. And I don't see any chastening. I mean,
right.
I got some bad
right.
consequences.
Right.
If there's no awareness of God in that, he's probably not a believer.
Yeah, that's trouble. That's a buddies of mine who say, man, I'm really struggling with something. My first response is, praise the Lord.
Yes.
Welcome to the party. But the fact that you're struggling means it matters. You see that it's a problem. If you're not struggling at all, besides being a narcissist or a sociopath, odds are the Spirit's not even in you. So you go, well, I don't really feel any conviction over that. Well, it's clearly not biblical. You should clearly feel conviction. And if you don't, to me, that means the Spirit's not within you. That's really difficult. We'll be right back.
Patterns of life.
That makes sense. Hold on.
Need to be resilient.
Noble, the Steve Noble Show, Theology Thursday with our friends at BJU Seminary down in beautiful Greenville, South Carolina. That's the website, as always, to go check out everything we talk about every Thursday, seminary.bju.edu/radio. Okay, I know that's a mouthful. That's why I say it several times a show. seminary.bju.edu/radio will land you right there. Or I've got the links up on Facebook Live, so just go to my Facebook page. You'll be able to find it there as well, just under the Steve Noble Show on Facebook. And there's valuable. There's so many great resources there. Plus, you can get to other things about not only the seminary, but Bob Jones University, all kinds of other things that are going on down there. It's a very, very busy place and a lot of opportunities, whether you're there or online. It's really a great option. So make sure you check that out. Today, working our way through this brand new blog post, Seminary Viewpoint, Freedom from Addiction as Slaves to God, which we were talking with Jim Berg about kind of the physical dependence versus addictions. And then we were going to talk about, because you mentioned kind of a master gym and who are you looking to? And you were talking about as a counselor being a signpost. We were talking about this during the break, pointing people to Jesus. For some reason, because I'm such a goofball, what started playing through my head was the old Who song where they say, meet the new boss, same as the old boss, which I understand that from a physical realm, from a worldly realm, that we have a sin nature and kind of the same things as Solomon say, there's nothing new under the sun. However, when it comes to this topic of addiction, when you say meet the new boss, same as the old boss, that's the problem, isn't it? It's like, which boss are you going to submit yourself to?
Yes.
The old master or the new master?
All of our decisions. We have to look at two things. One are temptations. Temptations are the solicitations of our sinful nature to get something we want outside of the will of God. And our hearts are constant factories of solicitation to evil, to think evil of other people, to lust, to be ambitious, to be proud. And temptations are those solicitations to do evil. And that's what James, I think John is addressing in 2 John 2:15-17. And when he talks about the lust, the desires of our flesh, the desires for pleasure, mm-hmm. the desires for possessions, the lust of the eyes, the desires for honor and fame and recognition, that pride of life, that all of those things often drive what we want. It often is the thing that drives people to drugs or alcohol in the first place or to porn because of the sheer pleasure that it gives. I mean, sin, people aren't attracted to sin because it makes him more miserable. Right. Nobody says, I'm going to get into this sin because right. I am way too happy.
Right.
I need some misery in my life. That never happens. Right. We're drawn because of this sinful nature we have. But then we have trials of life, and that's because we live on a fallen planet mm. where stuff happens and goes wrong. And then we have our own sinful nature we're fighting against, and all of the things done against us by other people with sinful natures. And now we have a trial that our heart has to look at, interpret, make conclusions, and then decide what to do. And what Romans 6 so clearly states is that they're just two masters.
Yeah.
You're either running the show, taking the cue from your sinful nature, or God is running the show and you're taking your cue from that. And there are just two ends of that. One is going to be increasing righteousness. The other one is going to be increasing sinfulness. And if you're not a believer, ultimately eternal death. And the scripture is just really clear about how we ought to handle temptation
yeah.
and how we need to handle the temptations that trials bring our way.
And so when we're dealing with the issue of addictions, it's really a huge, really the crux of it, the fulcrum of the whole thing is believer versus non-believer, isn't it?
Well, a believer,
because you can't approach it. You can't approach an unbeliever from a soul level in terms of referencing scripture when scripture means nothing to them and they can't even understand spiritual truths.
Yeah. What you can do is say, you know, I know you reject scripture. You're coming for me to help. Let me just start in a foundational truth about who you are as a human being. Mm. God created you a certain way. The fall created certain effects in your life. And here's where you are now in that whole process. Now, here's what God has to say about the solution for that. Now, I can give somebody tips about anger management
sure.
or stress reduction or whatever, and all of us rejoice when somebody gets sober, for example. It makes a better husband, a better employer, a better citizen, a better employee, but it doesn't honor God unless he's a believer. And millions of people get sober without any intervention
right.
every year.
Right.
In fact, over half of the people that are addicted get over it without any intervention and stay sober. You can, and I tell our folks, you can become sober without Jesus Christ, but you cannot flourish as the human being God created you
yeah.
to be
yeah.
without an ongoing relationship with Jesus Christ, an ongoing knowledge of and obedience to his word,
yeah.
and an ongoing fellowship and accountability to a local church. You can't flourish without
right.
those three things.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. So when it comes to addiction, Jim, we're talking to Jim Berg from about BJU Seminary, Biblical Counseling. And the topic today is we're discussing, which is a difficult one, freedom from addiction as slaves to God. Oftentimes I think that, if somebody's an addict, you're an addict for the rest of your life. It's kind of like being a Marine. You never stop being a Marine. You never stop being an addict. Alcoholics will say, hey, I'm still an alcoholic, but I haven't had a drink in 10 years or whatever the case may be. Is that kind of a bad way to look at it? If you're in Christ, can you be free? I mean, that's what Jesus said, didn't it?
Yeah. And even in the secular world, I was reading a study recently that said the single most important factor that keeps people in drug addiction is the belief that they have a disease.
Wow.
Because if you have a disease, you don't talk your way out of cancer.
Right.
You don't talk your way out of a broken leg. You may get into support groups of people with similar problems, but the talk therapy is not the cure. And addiction is not a disease. And there are many in the secular world that just are really disgusted with the whole idea that addiction is a disease and that it's incurable. But AA and others have made it very popular that
yeah.
once a drunk, always a drunk, and you have an incurable disease. And I don't know all of the motives behind that,
sure.
but it is a multi-billion-dollar industry.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And if I can keep you coming back to me and you're always going to need
yep.
me, the fact is God made all of us dependent beings. In order to be dependent on him. But if we don't depend on God, we're going to depend on something.
You're going to depend on
12-step group,
right?
Whatever. But we need to be a part of a community that is going to point us to dependence to Jesus as a solution. Otherwise, there is no lasting solution.
Yeah, and that's where it can be so depressing. And that, and then listen, that kind of thinking bleeds into our prayer lives. We're afraid to pray big prayers because what if God doesn't come through? Then I'm afraid what that's going to do to me. It's going to ruin my faith. And so we kind of pull back and we lower the bar so that we don't get disappointed.
Yeah,
and that's a scarcity mentality, and that's not a victory mentality.
Yeah, and actually, it's a mentality that's not built on a growing knowledge of God. Mm. My faith isn't determined by whether he comes through the way I want it or not. My faith is determined by who he has revealed himself to be. He is always loving. He's always wise. He's always sovereign. He is always merciful. He's always gracious. He's always forgiving. The more I know God, the more I can filter what I'm experiencing through what I know and make my commitments to them. God, I don't understand this at all, but I know who you are.
Yeah, amen.
And I know what you've promised me. And because of that, I'm going to obey what you said here no matter what. And I teach in Freedom at Last, our classes, we have to, whatever the trial or temptation, we have to bow, trust, and obey. Mm-hmm. My first conversation, the first response to any trial or any temptation needs, I got to have a conversation with God right now.
Yeah, wow.
And sometimes that's a bowing of repentance because I mishandled it. Sometimes it's always a bowing of submission in some way.
Yeah.
And a bowing of dependence and then trust, bow, trust what he has said. But I got to know what he has said.
Yeah, that's right.
Bow, trust, and then obey. And I've got to know what he has commanded me to do and the help he's given me to do. One of our men in a meeting a few months ago, he stood up in the testimony time and he said, I just want y'all to know I BTO'd 3 times today. And he said, that means I bowed, trusted, and obeyed. I had these problems and I bowed and I talked to God and I trusted and obeyed. It's been the best day of my life.
Wow.
So when we say God didn't come through when he didn't do this, that's a very narrow view of who God is. He's not a genie in the bottle. He's not a supernatural vending machine.
Yeah. Yep.
He is the merciful, loving, powerful God who doesn't deliver me from all the evil. He delivers me from sinful responses to the evil that happens to me.
Yeah, what a great point. That's so powerful to hear it put that way. Bow, trust, and obey, BTO, for all you that are in your mid-50s or older. That does not mean Bachman-Turner Overdrive.
Yeah, okay? That's right.
It's bow.
I hesitated to say that.
It's bow, trust, and obey. I want to talk about obedience to the new master, and then we'll finish up with the myth of, is there a third master out there? That's an interesting concept. Up. We'll talk about that as well. We're talking to Dr. Jim Berg about biblical counseling today, specifically about addiction. If you know somebody or maybe you're in that ballpark, this is for you. God is speaking to you today, so make sure you pay attention. We'll be right back. It might seem crazy what I'm about to say. Sunshine, she's here. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, talking about addictions today. Freedom from addiction as a slave to God. Physical dependence versus addictions. And addictions can be a big business. And it's a challenging conversation for a lot of people. I just had somebody on Facebook Live saying, so are we saying that alcoholism is not a disease? And Dr. Jim Berg is here with us today. He said, yeah, that's what I'm saying. But it's not just a Christian who's just saying, oh, yeah, it's just all about the Bible. No, there's secular psychiatrists out there. There's a secular movement going away from this addiction as disease to start dealing with the decisions, the way we look at life. And for us as Christians, we would call those soul issues. Jim mentioned Lance Dottis, a book called The Sober Truth. And then the other one you mentioned, was it Stanton or Stanton Peel?
Anything by Stanton, S-T-A-N-T-O-N. Peel. His last name is Peel, P-E-E-L-E.
Got it.
Mark Lewis, M-A-R-C-L-E-W-I-S, has a book called The Biology of Desire, Why Addiction is Not a Disease. He's a neuroscientist and a developmental psychologist.
Yeah, because they're finding that when you approach it as a disease, as you were mentioning on the break for something like the 12-step program, it's not working. Right? I mean, that's the objective.
There's a fascinating documentary called The Business of Recovery that you can find on iTunes or I think Amazon Prime, The Business of Recovery.
Yeah, I'll go watch that.
They unmask what is going on in the addiction recovery movement. and bring out the studies of the failure of 12-step groups. And it does help some people become sober.
Sure.
But I, you know, I keep reminding our people that sobriety is not our goal. I mean, it's a goal, but it's not the end game. The end game, because you can be sober and miserable.
Well, sobriety is like triage. You know, it's stop the bleeding, but that, you're not flourishing yet.
Right, right. You can be sober and miserable. You can be sober and a thief. You can be sober and immoral, but you can't be like Jesus and be any of those things.
Yeah.
So the path out of this, in fact, Stanton Peale's latest book is called Outgrowing Addiction. There are developmental processes that need to go through your way of looking at life. Now, he doesn't have a biblical lens and he doesn't bring God into the picture, but he does say the way out of addiction is that you got to grow up and deal with your problems differently.
Wow, gee.
And it's a developmental process.
Yeah. Well, even in the secular world, because truth is truth, they're not going to give God the credit and they're not going to use spiritual language, but they're going to end up landing on the same thing because truth is truth. You don't have to be a psychiatrist or you don't have to be a physics professor to understand the law of physics or gravity. It just is. So then when it's truthful, it doesn't matter when we discovered the law of gravity. It doesn't matter whether it's 600 years old or 2,000 years old or 40,000 years old. It doesn't matter. What's true is true. And that's why it's fascinating to me. And by the way, if you're out there and you're kind of getting triggered by this conversation and because we've all been down this road as addiction, as a disease, then go read for yourself. Don't just stop here with an emotional reaction. Turn it off and walk out of the room. Go read. Go show yourself approved. Spend the time and invest because human beings are worth it. So whether it's the Lance Dottis book, The Sober Truth, or Outgrowing Addiction by Stanton Peale, or anything by Mark Lewis, M-A-R-C Lewis. I mean, go read. Okay, it's that serious. We should all be doing our homework here. But there are a lot of choices here, and then I'm going to get to the final part of the blog post today. But the choice to obey the new master, that's really probably the biggest part of the battle, isn't it? We just have to make better choices.
And Romans 6 is so clear about that. And Paul says, just because you're under grace doesn't mean you can continue to sin. And he talks about this Roman church, and in Romans 6, 17, he says, but thanks be to God that you who once were slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart. You're wholeheartedly following God to the standard of teaching or the apostolic teaching that we have in the Bible, to which you were committed, and having been set free from sin, you have become slaves of righteousness. And he makes that appeal. He says, you're going to either serve sin, your sinful nature personified here in Romans 6, you're either going to serve sin or you're going to serve Jesus. And there are two outcomes of that. One, you're going to have an increasing righteousness. The other one, you're going to have an increasing lawlessness. And if you're not, and if you are an unbeliever, the only way you can go is increasing lawlessness to eternal death.
It leads to death, right.
But what Romans 6 is saying is that when you were dead with Christ when he died on the cross and when you accepted him as Savior, you died with him and you were resurrected with him to walk in newness of life. And now you didn't have a choice of following God or your sin nature before salvation. You had to follow your sin nature. Now you have a choice. And you need to be making the choice to follow your new master, and that's Jesus Christ and everything he has said in his word.
Yeah, and that's where the rub is. That's where the battle is. We acknowledge that openly and freely. And that's why this whole myth of a third master, because I think that's where most of the world is today. I mean, Barna research in the last year would show you that only about 6% of Americans, Jim, are actually living out a convictional biblical worldview. Only 6%. Yes. I think the vast majority of the remaining 94% think there actually is a third master. It's themselves. Yes. I'm not a terrible person. I don't want to be a Jesus thing. That's not for me. That's the people are wacko. But I'm not a serial killer over here. I'm in kind of this neutral, decent, third party, third master arena. And Paul makes it perfectly obvious, which is what you're alluding to, that that's just a lie. It's one or the other. Yeah. You're either a child of God or you're a child of the devil. Well, it's one or the other.
Yeah, that's right. And when you become a believer, you're either serving your sin nature again, and that's why Paul says in Galatians that if you walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill those desires of the flesh. So the Bible acknowledges that we can be saved and still serve our flesh, but if we are believers, we're going to experience the conviction of God and we're going to experience his chastening if we truly are his children. because he loves us, he's going to rebuke and chasten us, Revelation 3:19 says.
Yeah. Yeah, is this, in terms of the realm of being a Christian counselor, Jim, and teaching it and leading in this, this whole world of addiction's got to be probably one of the most difficult areas, because it can have such a stronghold. It can be so dark and depressing. It really collapses in so many other areas of life. I guess I want to ask is just kind of point people in the direction of hope. Because I think there's a lot of people that struggle with addiction that just, they buy that. This is just me. This is who I am. And I'm going to die this way.
Yes, yes. And Romans 6 is really clear when he says, you once did serve your sinful nature, mm-hmm. but now you've been freed from that and you can't serve righteousness. But now people, the world has captured this idea of getting out of addiction is a growth process. And anything that actually works in the world has been in the soul area has been plagiarized from the Bible. They just don't cite God as the source of it.
Of course not.
The process out of addiction is one of, I have a lot of things to overcome. I've got all of these habits. I've got all of these habitual responses to certain kinds of things. All of that has to be a growing process of a progressive sanctification. Mm-hmm. I help our men and women write out, we talked about bow, trust, and obey. You have a mental script right now for how you handle that trouble. You go through it every time. You've been on that path so many times, and it always ends up at the same place. So what is the new mental script informed by the Word of God, bowing to God? What does that look like? Write out the conversation you're going to have with God at the time of temptation or the trial, how you're going to bow to God. Write out that script. What are you going to trust him for? What verses are you going to actually run through your mind and commit to memory and trust that promise? And how are you going to obey? Get this mental script. And this whole thing has to be learned. It's progressive sanctification. Yeah. We're transformed by the renewing of our mind. So it's not just, you can turn off the drug. There are tons of people who walk away from heroin and alcohol on an instant. But that doesn't mean they walk away from the wrong way of thinking about life.
Exactly.
And that has to be corrected. Now, there are a lot of men and women who don't seem to walk away from it like grandma wants to, because they still yet don't have a better solution. And that's where we really have to help them with that biblical solution.
And that's why we have to, there are, and I appreciate you mentioning that, there are people that will just get supernaturally delivered from this stuff. I mean, one day it's a nightmare, and the next day they're free. And they're walking in freedom, and they're starting to flourish. And that happens, and praise God that it happens. But outside of that, it reminded me, I couldn't remember who said it, but it was a book that Eugene Peterson wrote about 40 years ago, A Long Obedience in the Same Direction.
Yes.
Which is just that arduous journey of progressive sanctification. And I take two steps forward and I take one step back, and it's the part of the tension of the Christian life, knowing that that's not going to last forever. But I think that's important for us to just realize that sometimes, I think for a lot of people, that's just the deal. It's going to be a long obedience in the same direction.
Could I throw in a couple of resources here? One is a website called theaddictionconnection.org. And in it, you'll find links to resident facilities, to programs like ours, Freedom That Lasts, and to individual counselors all over the world.
Wow!
And all of them have been vetted for a biblical counseling approach to addiction. And their podcasts are just wonderful podcasts and blogs on there and other resources. And all of that is headed up by Mark Shaw. Mm. He's a wonderful, wonderful friend. He's worked in secular clinics as well as a biblical counseling.
Yeah, I just put a link up for that on Facebook Live so you guys can check that out. Literally, theaddictionconnection.org. Jim, if you want to send me some other resources, I'd love to post those.
I'll do it.
So when you have a chance, send me that. But it's been a great conversation, as always. It's such an important topic. So great to be reminded that we actually can have victory in Christ. Dr. Jim Berg, God bless you, my brother. Thanks so much for being
here. Thank you, Steve.
You're very welcome. This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.